All right. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day today. Praise you, Lord. We're just drawing closer and closer to you, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, to fill us all up with your love, your Holy Spirit, where there ain't nothing left but just you, Lord. We don't need anything else in there but you to guide us, to direct us, to lead us, and go the way that you want us to go. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of our enemies, providing us with protection from them. And thank you, Lord, that you're providing for us in every way possible, that every way that we need, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we have absolutely surrendered everything to you, Lord. Laid it all on the altar and given it up that you might be first in our life. Every idol gone. Every tormenting demon gone. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for an awesome time tonight talking about the things of the Word, the things of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your wonderful Word that you have given us in the Old Testament, which is a type and a shadow that we can just unpeel layer after layer of the unfathomable riches of your glory. And in the New Covenant, the same thing. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you and ask that you lead us and guide us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Wade. All right. Anybody got a prayer request or praise report or testimony? Oh, Marilyn, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I have a praise report. And also just wanted to thank everybody that's prayed with us and stood in faith while our daughter was on her big business trip to Denver for a week. She got home yesterday. And Michael, you know, the things that you've prayed, I think they're all getting taken care of. The problems with getting her product, all of her inventory shipped back. It's scheduled to be picked up by UPS tomorrow. And they're going to put it on a pallet for her, and they're just going to do everything and ship it. And she's fine with that. But she came home with just a very thankful heart. She came home last night just exhausted but thankful, like I've never seen her. And when she was leaving Denver yesterday, they got in some pretty bad turbulence, and she said, I thought I was gonna die. And but you know, the Lord of course was taking care of her, but I know that he's really been dealing with her. We just see such a change. And this was just, you know, really kind of a huge trial for her, and for us too, to stand in faith and you know, pray for, you know, people that aren't saved that she was dealing with, and you know, stand in faith for them and love. And so anyway, we're just thankful. We are so thankful. And Lord, we just give you all the glory. And I guess I wanted to thank the saints for standing in faith with us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a smooth transition. Now, is she back home? Yeah. Okay, good, good. All right, anybody else? Testimony, praise report. Where's everybody? Yeah. There he is. Go ahead, Wayne. Having trouble hearing you.
Can you hear me better now?
A little bit.
I don't know what's wrong with this thing. I had my technician look at it, and he didn't say, he didn't do much. Anyways, my big toe on my left foot is infected. I was told by a doctor that I could lose my life or my leg because it was badly infected. But I'm trying to get free from all doctors. I have a little dependence on them now, but I want to get free. But the toe is infected, and I request prayer for it.
Okay. Are you suffering from diabetes?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we're going to pray against diabetes, okay?
All right.
And then we're going to, because that's probably the cause of it.
Yeah, probably is.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Wade to you. We thank you, Lord, that he's not under the curse. And Father, I thank you for putting great and bold faith in Wade and Jeanette both to believe that the Word of God is true and that we can trust you, Lord, to fulfill the promises that you have in there for us, Lord. And in the name of Jesus right now, I come against diabetes and all of its symptoms and all of its curses, and I command it to go from Wade right now in the name of Jesus. I command. Okay, one at a time.
Okay.
Let's go one at a time.
Okay.
And Lord, we just thank you for cleansing him of all of this infirmity. We command that spirit of infirmity off of him right now in the name of Jesus. We command diabetes to go in the name of Jesus. We command all the effects of it to go in the name of Jesus. We command that infection to cease its attack on his foot right now in the name of Jesus. We command that foot to go down and be healed in the name of Jesus. And we command the sores to heal up and dry up and be pain-free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We command every cell in his body, every organ in his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that your angels are right now working on the inside of Wade. He's already healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. And we command doubt and unbelief to go from him in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you have put great and bold faith in his heart to believe in the promise that he's not under the curse. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And we do the same thing for Jeanette. We command that spirit of diabetes off of her and all of its effects in Jesus' name. We command every cell in her body, every organ in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that for Jeanette, too, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in Wade and Jeanette, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that?
I believe that.
Amen.
We got glaucoma, too.
Okay. And from this point on, Lord, we thank you that you're going to curb their tongue from speaking curses on themselves. We command that spirit of glaucoma to go right now in Jesus' name. They don't have anything but Jesus. That's all they've got right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to set a watch before their lips to quit cursing themselves and only to speak blessings upon each other in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that Wade and Jeanette are completely healed in Jesus' name. And I believe it, Lord. And I believe everybody in here does too. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty work on Wade and Jeanette in Jesus' name. Glaucoma, go. Diabetes, go. And everything associated with it, go with it. In the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for a complete recovery on both of them. Healing In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we don't care what the doctors say. We know what your Word of God says. Word of God says they're healed.
We're healed.
And delivered by the stripes of Jesus. That's what he went to the cross for. Is so we wouldn't have to put up with that garbage. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I believe it, Wayne.
Amen.
I believe it, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Agreeing with my brothers and sisters on their needs.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for faith in both of them. Great faith, Lord. Thank you, Father. Even when they put their hands on people and pray for them, they're going to be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe it. Okay. All right, Joe. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Had a physical day at work today, so other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. That
just kinda, it was a good day, but I think it was hot out, so the heat doesn't help too much. Kind of wore me down a little bit, but I'm not bad.
What heat?
Heat, exactly.
What heat?
Us up here in the frozen tundra, man, that heat's, you know, it's pretty rough.
Okay.
But but I want to pray for my maintenance guys here at the apartment. You know, things they have been keeping up on you know, my requests, thankfully. You know, I just had some work done in the bathroom there, some, like, you know, the caulk on the seal it up, some where the tub meets the wall there. They did a little bit of work of that today. That my toilet supposedly flooded the other day, and I guess it reached the bottom apartment, you know below me, so they had to, like, you know, redo the deadbolt on my door there, you know, so they did all that, thankfully. But I think it's, I mean, you know, I mean, lately I've been dealing with this where, like, for instance, you know, in the bathroom work, they didn't clean up their mess, whoever it was afterwards, so, you know, I had to clean it up for them. And I guess, you know, in the past, supposedly from what the landlords told me, that they've had, you know, I guess whoever they've hired are pretty dishonest. You know, they're not really saying, hey, you know, we didn't do this job or we did this job, you know, so I guess they've kind of passed it off as they've always done the job. You know, of course, I mean, we pray before concerning my stove, you know, that they would fix it, because, you know, I was told that they already fixed it. And I was like, no, that's not true. You know, and eventually I just kind of gave up on it. But I want to pray for these guys, whoever they are. They've recently got two new ones. You know, they've had to let go of the other, you know, maintenance guys they've had. But it seems like there's just a string of dishonesty, you know, amongst these guys or whoever it is. I'm not sure what exactly is going on, but I want to pray into this situation. You know, I mean, everybody agree with me, because it seems like, from what I'm understanding, it seems like the maintenance guys are not very honest people, you know, not being good, you know. So, but, or, I mean, it could be the other way around. Could be the landlord. I'm not sure, but I want to pray for just some wisdom and kind of God would shine some light on this issue and resolve it. So, yeah, just go ahead and agree with me. But, Lord, we just, I thank you, Lord, for just how you work in our lives, you know, and I thank you for how you've worked in my life. Thank you for, you know, causing the maintenance crew here. You know, I know it's a small one, you know, and it's a fairly big, you know, property for two guys that, you know, from what I understand, to do all the work, or maybe even more than that. But, you know, I mean, I do understand it's a big area, you know, and so, I mean, it's hard to keep up on everything in a timely manner. So, Lord, I thank you that they've done the work lately. Thank you that you've given me favor that they've done that. And so I ask, Lord, that you would move on them, Lord. Shed light, you know, shine the light on what exactly the problem is here. Is it the management? Is it the landlords, you know, or is it the maintenance crew, Lord, that is not being honest here, that is not doing their job 100%, you know, that is, you know, not speaking the truth to, you know, whomever they need to, or communicating effectively. So, Lord, I ask that you would just, you know, you would shine the light, expose the issue, you know, get to the root of it. And I ask, Lord, that you would just move on these people. You know, you would convict them of their sins here, you know, to cause them to look at what they're doing. You know, they're harming, you know, they're not only being dishonest, it seems like, or, I mean, if that's what it is, Lord, you know, then I pray that they would feel convicted, you know, they would feel bad about that and they would repent. So you grant these individuals, whoever it is, you know, the gift of repentance, that they would turn from their ways, you know, and that they would treat the, you know, I guess you'd say customers, you know, I'm a customer, you know, they would treat us better. And even anybody else they're dealing with, you know, it's probably not just me, you know, if it's me, it's others. So ask Lord that you would change their hearts. And if it's the landlord, you know, if it's the management, change their hearts, Lord, to where they will communicate, you know, honestly. And, you know, they'll be fair with everybody involved. And Lord, I just thank you for this, what you're going to do here. I thank you for moving in this situation, keeping everybody honest, you know, keeping everybody acting fair and, you know, respectable to others, you know, and giving others the service that they say that they will. So, Lord, thank you for moving in this situation, and thank you for what you've done already. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay. I just kind of wanted to, a couple of things came to me while you were praying there, Joe. I just kind of wanted to add on a little bit. Father, it just kind of sounds like this is unsaved people acting like unsaved people. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And thank you for bringing these people across Joe's path so that he can pray for them and we can pray for them. Lord, we pray that you draw them to you by the Holy Spirit. Father, none can come to you except they come to you through faith in the redeeming blood sacrifice of Jesus. And they have to be drawn by your Spirit, Father. So if any of these people are your elect, we pray for that, that all this is going to work together for them coming into the kingdom because of our prayers. And we believe that you're working even tonight. We bind up any spirits of slothfulness and deception. And Lord, you know, just the baggage that unsaved people have. You know, Father, you're well aware of all of it. But we thank you, Lord, that you're working here and that Joe's going to come back with a good report that, you know, the Lord has answered. And it's going to be evidenced by changes there to the glory of our Heavenly Father. And Father, we just thank you for hearing and answering our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Willie, go ahead, brother.
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Gaino.
I would just like to thank the Lord for helping my daughter Leanne and my granddaughter to get here safely.
Okay.
Thank you, Father, for your protection over their travels and that all their connections went fine. And although we're all tired from not sleeping a whole lot, we just thank you, Father, for your protection and everything going good. And just pray that this would be a blessed week with them. And I just thank you, Father, for what you're going to work this week and what you're going to open up. And I just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I would like prayer for my foot. I don't know what's with it, but it doesn't want to be in a shoe. It hurts. I don't know what the issue is. I've been believing it's healed, but it's
get a bigger shoe.
Well, I don't know today. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so if you could just pray for healing for my foot. I don't know what it still is. It's just like a stinging, burning pain across the top of my foot. Okay. I don't know what it is.
All right, well, let's pray for it. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that foot to be healed and to go in that shoe comfortably in the name of Jesus from this point on. We praise you, Father. Again, Lord, I don't have to worry about that shoe going on her foot anymore because the foot is healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Gano. Now, I have a question for you, Gano.
Yeah?
And this, I'm just seeking some answers here. Can you hear us talk?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right, I just wondered.
Can you not hear me?
Well, I can hear you well. Yes, I can hear you quite well.
Yeah, I hear you fine also.
Okay. Well, that's good. I was calling on somebody else, and this is about the third time that you haven't heard us talking, and I just wondered. I know, are you on a telephone? Are you on a telephone or a computer?
I'm on a telephone.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I know one other time someone was having difficulty hearing, and I'm on the phone, and I always hear just fine.
Okay.
So I don't know. It may be just a connection or something. I'm not sure what that might be.
Well, it could be. It could be.
Yeah, I'm really not sure.
Well, you're sounding good right now.
I listen on a landline. I'm not on a cell phone.
Oh, okay.
So that might make a difference also.
Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
Because my cell phone, I just buy minutes, you know, and so I don't listen on my cell phone because I just don't. I'll listen on my landline.
Okay.
My thought, Michael, is there might be a delay.
It could be.
That could be possible also, yes. It could be.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when she said that. So I thought, well, maybe it's a delay. Okay, so thank you, Gano. Your foot's healed.
Okay. You be blessed.
All right, you too. Go ahead, Willie.
Oh,
better hurry.
Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord. You know, praise the Lord. But, yeah, just wanted to give her a praise report, you know. Lord's just really been, you know, doing some good things in my life. Some challenging things and some good things. You know, the challenging things came from my hard-headedness, but the good things came from his mercy. He started dealing with me in the realm of condemnation again, you know. And he said, you know, it would be like someone just saying to you, okay, there's no condemnation, you know, for them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. And he said, I meant everything. He said, not only did I mean everything, I mean you can't condemn anything. If you want to walk free from condemnation, don't condemn nothing. And I was like, wow, you know, that's interesting. Because you often look at condemnation as just dealing with yourself or the troubles of your own mind. Or, you know, he said, you can't condemn nothing. He said, you want to be free of condemnation? Do not condemn. Practice condemning absolutely nothing. I'm not saying we can't judge sin and stay away from sin, but he said to me, practice condemning nothing. Nothing. Condemning absolutely nothing. You can't condemn anything. And so I was like, I was like, okay, Lord, you know. And so I started practicing that. I'll get up in the morning, you know. Lord, you know, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I just thank you for strength this morning. Thank you for, you know, this, my job and stuff. So a couple of days ago, can you guys hear me just fine? I'm walking down the street, you know, I'm walking to work, and I'm just thanking God for, you know, everything. You know, I missed the bus, forgot my house keys, forgot my wallet, you know, and I'm thanking him for everything. And it comes into my mind to where he says, you know, why don't you thank me for good air, clean air? And I was like, why would I thank God for clean smelling air? And so I just said it anyways, you know, because he told me, you know, I'm going on what he told me. Don't condemn nothing. you know, so that you can't even be like, you know, whoa, this thought, you know, when the devil's speaking to you, you know, when God's talking to you, you know. And so I said, you know, Father, I just thank you for clean air. And so I get to work, right? And all around my job, it smells like a dead body. You know, 300 turkeys went bad in the cooler. The cooler shot up to 800 degrees at the kitchen, and it smelled like dead body everywhere. And I was like, oh, Lord, that's why you told me to thank you for clean air. You know, everyone's like nauseous. Oh, that's making me sick. I can't stand this smell. It's not like somebody killed someone and threw them in a ditch. You know, and it's everywhere, you know, because they got the door wide open and the workers and sanitary workers are just trying to get this stuff out of here and deal with that smell. And I'm just like, ah, smell don't bother me at all. I'm great. Didn't bother me one bit. I'm all up by the door, right across the street from it, pushing over clothing bins. The other, I'm talking to the sanitary workers. They're like, this smell don't bother you? I'm like, no, it don't bother me at all. You know, don't bother me one bit. Now I know why he told me to thank him for clean air, you know. But what I'm saying is, this is what having no condemnation against anything has been teaching me. You know, he told me, don't you condemn. If you see, it's like, I'll be walking down the street and I'll see trash all over the ground. And he said, don't you condemn the neighborhood because you see trash all over the ground. I didn't change my mind in the 6 days of creation when I said it's good. So don't you condemn this neighborhood. If you don't got nothing good to say, don't say it at all. And I was like, well, yeah, Lord, you're right. I just ask that you bless this neighborhood. Lord, I just thank you for this neighborhood right now, Lord. You know, Lord, I thank you for the people that live here, Father God. I just ask that you deliver them. This no condemnation thing is really awesome, you know. And so sorry, someone sent me a message. And so, he's like, you know, I wish I can explain it, you know, better. And I know I always say that. But literally, when it says, therefore, there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. You know, for the law of the Spirit of life. When he said to me, when he explained it to me as, you know, I'm not just talking about condemning yourself. I'm not just talking about looking down on yourself or, you know, being overcritical or, you know, he said, I don't want you to condemn nothing. He said, I call it the 6 days good. You don't have a right to condemn it. You walk by two laws, to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You don't have the right, according to those commandments, to condemn anything. And I mean, when I say anything, I mean all. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord. And man, it's just been so pleasant. Neighborhoods look beautiful. Trees look beautiful. My job's great, you know. I feel awesome. Anything I'm praying about, you know, I don't feel unbelief, fear, doubt, you know, speculations. I am telling you, it's really interesting to decide, you know, not to condemn anything. You know, and it wasn't just like, but yeah. But that's what the Lord has been blessing me with. He's been dealing with me on healing. He said the reason why you have had such a hard time believing on healing is because you condemn it before it comes out your mouth. I told you not to condemn anything. He said these signs shall follow them that believe. Did I say condemnation? Or did I say these signs shall follow? He said, you know, when you think about wanting other people to be healed, what's the first thing you think about? If they're going to believe, there you go with that condemnation again, you know. And, you know, he's just been talking to me like normal person, you know, about condemnation. He said, what did Adam and Eve do when I talked to them and they heard my voice after they sinned? He said, they went and hid themselves. I went and made a sacrifice for them. I condemned the serpent. I sacrificed for them. You don't got a right to condemn yourself. You don't have a right to condemn yourself. What did I say from the beginning? Let us create man our image and our likeness. Did I say, do you hear condemnation in that? I said, well, no, Lord, I don't hear any condemnation. He said, then you don't have the right to condemn anything my hands have made. And man, you know how awesome it feels to bless everything and that condemnation isn't there. You know, you get up in the morning, get out after a hard day of work and just say, you know, Lord, I just thank you for this hard day of work. You know, Heavenly Father, I just thank you because you blessed me. I thank you for the strength that you gave me to do my job. You know, Heavenly Father, you know, it's a new atmosphere. You enter into that heavenly atmosphere. It starts creating this heavenly atmosphere, you know. And so now he went from there to dealing with healing to dealing today with me about humility, you know, and how, but yeah, I'll stop there. Just wanted to share that. Praise the Lord for it. Thank him for it. You know, got a whole new perspective. Oh, yeah. I can finally hear what David is saying now. Had a hard time hearing what he's saying. I can play his 1 hour shows and I'm like, oh my God, what is he talking about? I heard about 7 minutes and I caught nothing else. And the Lord's like, you know why you've never been able to hear him? Condemnation. Every time you hear what he says, to you, it sounds like he's condemning you. But now I heard him talk, listen to the real good news, and I was like, yeah, that's real good news. You know, listen to a couple of three of the programs from back that just passed. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We blessed. You know, I was hearing everything. The atmosphere changes. There's no condemnation in heaven. We, you know. You're in the earth. It says that, you know, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. So why are we treating ourselves with condemnation? Why are we eating from the table of devils and from the table of God? You know, why? Oh, my God. Why? But, yes, praise the Lord. I can go on all day about it, but I'm going to shut my mouth because I'm excited. When I get excited, I want to keep going. All right, I'm done.
That's awesome, Willie. You could keep going as far as I'm concerned. Go ahead. Let me get to see what Barry's got here.
We have a witness in the scripture for what Willie was saying there. Luke 6, 37, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. So there you go. You have a witness in the scripture.
Amen. That's a good subject for tonight. That is an awesome subject. Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
I really wanted to share this. I found this awesome. The Lord said to me, you know, he said, you know why I put you in certain neighborhoods or certain situations or places that's difficult? And I said, no, Lord, you know, because, you know, yeah, I'm like this neighborhood. You know, Lord, y'all like going through that. He said to me, you know, I put you in that situation to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I was like, what? What do you mean? I put people in bad neighborhoods. I put Christians in bad neighborhoods. I put them in challenging situations so I could fill them with the Holy Spirit. And I was like, huh? And I never thought that God brings a trial on you, you know, or puts you in situations like that to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You got that boss you don't like. You know, why did God give you that boss? You know, you got that job you don't like. You got that neighborhood you're living in. You know, you got the paycheck you don't like. You got that car. You know, this house. Blah, 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 blah. You ought to be walking in the power of the Spirit of God to make changes. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You know, he can't do that, you know, without it. You got there. Holy Spirit, fire. Okay, Holy Spirit, fire. He said that. But I found it really interesting. That's about as far as I can go with it. But when I accepted that and I said, Lord, you're right, I began to pray more for people. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit is to have the mind of Christ. I want you to have the mind of Christ for your car, the mind of Christ for this job, the mind of Christ for that boss, the mind of Christ for the neighborhood, the mind of Christ. And that's what he said. He said, this is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, now I dealt with you with the condemnation. Now I'm going to deal with you about your surroundings and how I use your surroundings to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I was just like, what? You know, and he made me think about that part where he said, you know, he had the children of Israel come out into the wilderness that they might make sacrifice and worship the Lord, you know. And I just found that amazing. The upper room, you know, everybody was against Jesus in Israel, you know, but here they are in the upper room and surrounded by a nation that said, crucify him. They're up there 10 days praying, you know, oh, Lord, you know, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They came out. You, but, yeah, I'm going to stop talking. That's about as much information as I got on it. Praise the Lord. I'm done.
Awesome testimony, Willie. Thank you. Awesome preaching, too. That's good. That's something we all need occasionally, you know, walking around with our jaw hung down to the ground when we ought to be doing like you said, praising God for where we are, what we're doing, what he's doing in us, rather than complaining and murmuring and all of this other stuff. Praise God, that's good. Anybody got any comments on what Willie's talking about? Yeah, Joe.
I've got a question more just to try to understand what exactly you were saying there, Willie. Or I guess maybe, I don't know if that's what, if God exactly told you. Wait, you're saying, wait, oh wait, sorry, you said your work situation, the, you know, difficult neighborhoods, all that stuff was there to be filled with the Spirit, I guess, or I didn't quite get exactly how we were filled with the Spirit, I guess. I mean, is it like God puts us in those situations, like you said, neighborhoods, or boss, you know, difficult boss, difficult work, whatever. Is it in order to seek the Holy Spirit? I'm not quite getting what you're saying. Or did you explain how they kind of go together? I didn't quite understand what you were getting at there. If you want to elaborate there.
How shall we die?
Yeah. There you go. You know, what did Christ need in Israel? Against a backwards nation. The Holy Spirit. God put Jesus in Israel to fill him with the Holy Spirit. Suppose if Israel, you know, if he wasn't put, it all connects. It all connects. Yeah. You know, not saying he was given the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
You know, when he was baptized, you know, he met the devil, you know, died to self, came out in the power of the Spirit, said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, your environment is part of you staying filled with the Holy Spirit. It will bring you to weakness. It will bring you to dependency on God. You know, it will put you in a wilderness where you cannot survive without the Holy Spirit. And you will not adequately be able to handle your environment without the Holy Spirit. You know, the Spirit is everywhere. What makes you think you can be anywhere without being filled with the Holy Spirit? You need the Holy Spirit for every environment you're going to step in. And God makes sure the environment stays conducted to what it needs to be for you to keep your mind on spiritual things. You know, the Lord says, you know, you're going to cast out devil and you shall speak with new tongues. You know, and I said, you know, Lord, yeah, that's speaking in tongues. And the Lord said to me, that's speaking with a new mind. If you got a new mind, you have a new tongue. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I was like, because I was sitting there thinking about that. I said, God, this verse of scripture just sounds different when you say they shall cast out demons and speak with new tongues. And he said, yeah, a new mind speaks with a new tongue. You know, and I was just like, wow, that's amazing. You know, and I wasn't, but you guys understand what I mean, right? A tongue that is seasoned with grace. If your mouth is seasoned with grace, that's a new tongue. Bless and curse not, the scripture says. Overcome evil with good, you know. Casting down every vain thought and imagination, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, how do you do that? Don't condemn. You know. Release and you shall be released. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. But I'll let you guys, if anyone has anything they want to say on it. Like I said, I don't want to go beyond what the Lord is doing with me. But yeah.
Amen. Anybody got any comments? It gives you what Willie was talking about. It gives you a different way of looking at condemnation. And that's good. I like that. It makes me think about what I say sometimes, you know. Makes you want to back up and do it again. You know? Go ahead, Missy.
Well, let me see if I can explain this right. The Lord was showing me something about condemnation a little differently than what he had before. And Tuesday, you know, when you, I think it was Tuesday. You prayed for everybody, asked everybody to or was that Saturday night? That Saturday night? I don't know. Pray for everybody to put everything on the altar, and kind of like what David did on the Bible study. You said how they did that on, was that Monday or?
Yeah, that was Monday night.
Anyway, and so, you know, I was like, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if there's something, you know, that I missed or whatever, give me a dream to let me know what that is, you know? And he did. and I had this dream about basically someone in my past. And it was, it was a dream about, my ex-husband, like I was still married to him, like when I was married to him, and he was kind of being condemning to me about something. Basically, that's kind of the gist of it, you know. That's the most important part of it, whatever. It wasn't a real long dream, but anyway, and I woke up, you know, And I'm like, now, why would I be getting a dream? Why would you give me a dream about something, you know, in my past that, you know, whatever? And I'm like thinking about this, and I realized that the Lord was saying, you know, that the enemy had me looking in the past, whether it be about someone condemning me or something in my past, me feeling condemned about my past, like sin in my past or whatever. It was like, and the enemy had me in this mood of just, you know, looking back, and I wasn't casting it down, you know, like I should and stuff like that. And so I repented of that, and I was just like, wow. Since then, I just feel like really, just really light and positive, and feel really good about things and stuff like that. But so I just wanted to share that, you know, about condemnation and yeah, I think that's all I got right now. I'm trying to think of what else there was. I didn't look at my notes here, but if there's something else I want to share about that, I'll get back to you. But anyway, yeah, the Lord just said, you know, don't, like if you have a tendency to look back at that, maybe not necessarily maybe feeling condemned about it, but just think about things in the past or whatever, and things in your past or whatever. I mean, it's like, it's a way that of the enemy to bring condemnation on you if you allow yourself to go there. And plus, you know, we're supposed to forget the things in the past, forget the things which are behind, and stretch forward to the things which are before, you know, which is the Lord, you know. But anyway, that's, so I was like really thankful. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Missy, I think, you know, what was coming to me also is that, you know, your ex-husband, that is representative of the your old man. It's your old carnal nature. And I think that, you know, yeah, condemnation can be a spirit, but it also can come from, you know, just our old carnal nature, or our old flesh that's dead. And so anyway, that was coming to me when you were relating that. And, you know, obviously, you know how to war against that and just tell it to shut up, and you're on the cross and you can't, I'm not listening to you. And so anyway, that was a good dream.
Amen. Yeah. Tell that old man to shut up. If I ain't listening, la, 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 la. You know, that's what we need to do. I like that, Willie, because it puts a new light on the, you know, instead of going around in a negative way, you're going around in a positive way, in a biblical way, and blessing everything rather than cursing everything. So, praise God. What do you say, Dave?
I'm sorry, just a little sidetracked here. I looked at the email from down here. It's got a little bit of the, in case you can't reach the UBM website, it gives you an IP address, but that's not working. I was playing with that. Sorry. Looks like it's out.
What, the UBM website's out?
Well, you cannot, it will not, it's, you have a security set up so that if somebody tries to reach you just by using the IP address, the way this information was just sent out in the last letter, a UVM update, you cannot reach it because that HTTP service is closed out if you try to reach it with just using the IP address.
No, what that is, you're talking about that email that David sent out this afternoon?
Yes.
Or Brandy sent it? Well, all that's doing is telling you that if we lose internet service, basically on this server, you go to that website at that time, not now, but at that time. That's a backup. All we did was change the IP address to that particular server.
That's fine. So,
yeah.
I didn't see it that way.
I saw it too, and I had to go down there and find out what it was about too, but that's what Brandy was telling me.
So right now it's not opened up, but if for some reason the URL doesn't work for EVM,
yes,
then that will be opened up so you can use that.
Yes, it's a backup.
Okay.
More or less, yeah.
Right now they've got it locked out, which is okay.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not supposed to go to UVM2 right now until we do lose it. And it automatically does this stuff. I don't know. It's all magic, you know.
Well, I was looking at it. I mean, it's your website goes to that URL. I can look at it a little more seriously with some other software. But if you just try to type in URL itself, it's going to block you out.
Yeah.
That's no big deal. I'm sorry. That's outside. Yeah.
That's okay.
my techie stuff taking over.
Hey, I had to go ask too, man. I feel bad. I said, what is this? And he explained it to me. I said, once I read it, I said, oh, yeah, I remember now. Okay. Anybody else on condemnation? Yeah, Joe.
It's not really about condemnation, but I was on Wednesday morning, I asked for prayer for a few symptoms. By the Thursday morning, it was completely gone. Thank the Lord. But I was thinking to myself, I should have asked on Sunday morning or Saturday by your time for prayer, but I didn't listen. So it's not really condemnation. What I put myself on is not just not listening to when it comes up, but the Lord gives you this. And just want to confess that I should have listened. And now the Lord doesn't give you anything just for being doing nothing about it. It's just listening.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, bud. I didn't really understand all of that, but I understood enough of it, I think. Yeah, Dave.
What I've been seeing lately is the enemy coming on board and throwing all these thoughts in your head that you don't normally run with. Condemnation could be some of it. Sometimes, you know, it'll be whatever event or something around in your life that's happening. All of a sudden, the enemy's right there to start rolling in your head with thoughts about that. Whether it can even be lust, it could be just anger, it could be trying to get you to run with those thoughts, and it's a constant battle to push that back. The old man would like to go with it, of course, but you catch it and you recognize it, but it's still annoying. It's annoying to have that constant thing sometimes. Well, not constant, but it's there. You know, it just shows up. And you think, you just, there's something else you're pushing back, suppressing. I think David said in his Sunday broadcast, just to remind Satan of where he's going, as much as he's trying to bring you back into subjection to these things that at one time you might have ran with, when he tries to do it again, just be quick to remind him, hey, I know this is you, but I remind you him where he's going up for this reason. So that maybe he gets the point about, you know, where his kingdom is taking him, you know, and you're not going there, but he is.
Amen. I like to do that every now and then myself. Don't you just love to stomp on his head? We do that Enemy's Camp song. Yeah, Debbie and Denny really get into that song. We all get into it. That Enemy's Camp song, because we get to stomp on his head. We get to jump up and down on his head. Okay, anybody else? Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, we want to walk in power and we want to live these mature lives as sons of God, and we don't realize that God is allowing us power in our words, but our words have to be words of life, and that there is power in cursing and words of death and condemning and things like that. So I think it's just putting a bridle on our tongue and reminding ourselves, living by the words that we've got in our heart, to actually hold our tongues and not be coaxed to speak against what God wants to bless, especially when we're praying for our family or we've got people who are in a lesser frame of mind or in a lifestyle that's they're their own worst enemies, and it would be so easy to judge or to say something cute or to have pride and think that we're something and we got ourselves somewhere when we are so dependent on God that we, you know, I find more and more that we put ourselves out there so much to depend on God for everything that we don't want to lend ourselves to the enemy, because we don't want our own prayers hindered because of all the things that we need in our own life. And I just feel like there's a greater power coming. And if we can get a hold of our tongues now, that we will be releasing blessings like the world's never seen. So to practice blessing and to be extravagant with blessing and to call forth the riches and the glory of heaven, all of the provision that the Father's got for the body of Christ, so that we'll be the lender and not the borrower, and that we'll be able to give into every good work, and that we won't be hindered by anything. I think we take for granted the riches in glory in Christ Jesus and God, our Father, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, wants us to call on provision, and he wants us to be extravagant givers because we've walked a crucified life and he trusts us with the treasures. And I believe the treasures of this world, just like when they left Egypt, they're coming in, and we need to be on the lookout for all of those types of things, whether it's a word in due season, a word of healing, reaching out and calming a devil and letting them know who's really in charge. So be on the lookout, because the Spirit of God is anxious to take more loot on the field of battle. Amen.
Amen. He sure will. Boy, right now is the time to start. That's exactly right. You know, what that means is we're going to have to change the way we talk. And I know some of us have already been doing that. And we always have people around us that remind us too, around here, which is easy, you know. But it's good. It's good. I have to start speaking blessings rather than curses. All right, anybody else? That was a good book David had. It was a real short book. Doesn't have but just a few pages in it. Speak grace and not condemnation. I don't think it has but about 70, let's see, 80 pages in it. It's got 82 pages in it. Speak grace and not condemnation. It's a real small book. It's a real good one too. It goes the whole gamut. Okay. Anybody else? Got something they want to talk about or comment on? That's awesome. Hey, Will. All right. Anyone else? I don't know why this thing keeps, I keep getting my email up there interfering with the Zoom. That's never happened before. Probably an update, something or other. Craziness. Y'all have to bear with me here. I got to get y'all back. Okay, got you back. All right, anybody else? What y'all want to talk about?
So I missed Tuesday's discussion. How'd that go?
Well, you see, we're down to 17 people now.
Did we lose a couple?
I'm just kidding. No. You know, it's Joe, did you listen to it? I was going to ask you if you listened to it.
I got to listen to it, yeah, but I will.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You have to listen to it. Now, you ain't got it. You have to. It was good. It was really good. We had it was a calm. Most everybody's already heard of, you know, heard the teachings on Word, Women, and Authority. Went quite well. We established that women are not to teach or lord it over men. That's a big deal right there. And men are supposed to love their wives like Jesus loved the church. That's another big deal.
Now we have
unless they ain't submitting, you know.
So we have an interesting example with Esther and her position in the church, and it kind of represents a little bit of the bride of Christ.
Yep.
I see how she interceded for her, for Israel, for the rest of Israel. And she was given that grace to come to God, or the authority at the time, the king, Ahasuerus. Mm-hmm. So,
I don't know.
You know, if we put ourselves in that same role as a woman, I guess. And I'm not trying to add to or take away from anything at all. But I just see this interesting perspective of us as the bride and our position in Christ and the ministry that we do have still, you know, for an intercession and having access to the King, you know. And how are we supposed to use that access? What, you know, like Mordecai said, basically, if she did not intercede for Israel at the time, that there was nothing to say that it wouldn't, this edict that was sent out wouldn't affect her, you know, that her life would be taken also if she was a Jew. So I look at now of our position in the church as a woman, we stand to lose if we're not standing up for the church, right, and pleading for them and for their cause, and for the souls that the Lord's still going to bring into the kingdom and save, you know, and have them come in the fullness of Christ that they need to be, that they can stand their ground. Just an interesting perspective to see how that looks on the shoe of of the bride of Christ and being in that woman's perspective, but not assigning it to everybody and saying, well, you're a woman now, you got to act like a woman. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. No, we had a real good discussion on it. Real civil. Some interesting questions. Interesting answers.
Wasn't she telling the Israelites to stand for their life? How did that verse go? To stand for their position, or what was it? To stand for their life?
Well, something wasn't a letter sent out. Who signed the letter?
Yeah.
Let's find out in the scriptures to see who sent the letter out.
Well, I was just trying to compare it with this other verse here that is in Matthew, verse chapter 10. It's the very last verse of chapter 10 of Matthew. And whoso shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water only unto a disciple's name, amen, I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So she took that initiative to send that letter out to let the people stand for their lives, I think it was, or something. And when you're giving to this name, you know who you're giving to. So. Because there's it says the prophet's name receives a prophet's reward, to a righteous man's name receives a righteous man's reward. We all know who that name is, and it's that nature, character, and authority that we have been given by Jesus at the cross and resurrection. And you have a responsibility, actually, to look after your brother and to pray for him. And I always get some really convicted when I watch those music videos and all the young people there. You know? I go, do they know what's coming? I sort of believe that most of those people are free trivers. You know? Do they know what's coming? Do they know what's going to happen? How are they going to cope with what's going on? You know, and I sometimes wonder if it's my place to even think that way, because this is the Father's job, this is the Lord's job, you know. And if they just need if you would just to give them for the namesake this cup of cold water, you know. And it reminds me of those verses that some people are hungry and thirsty and strange and naked and sick and in prison. And do we do these things and give to these people knowingly? I mean, this is to the name we're giving it to, because everyone needs to have this name in them. You know, just like it says in John 1:12. But as many as, King James Version anyway, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you believe on his name, you have that name in you, and that that name is the same name as Jesus, and that's the Word of God, according to Revelation 19:13. So, and that's the Spirit and the life too, because that's what Jesus said. So, do we do this giving to them when we pray for them? You know, is a question. Should I be asking for prayer all the time for everything? You know, should I strive for it myself? Because there might come that point in time where there might not be people there for me. You know, should I always be asking for prayer? You know, like I assume people are praying for loved ones and other people's loved ones, you know, and you know, it's been a long time since you've seen my daughter's face beside me here. I think it was only one time, you know, and she's not she's married, been married since, and you know, and I have a son too now, and you know, he's came over last week, and you know, and we had some shepherd's pie. So that was good. You know, he wanted to go out to a restaurant, but I said, I just finished the shepherd's pie here. You try and it's kind of hard for me to even talk to him because it's so far in between where he doesn't come over as much because he's older now. He's going to be 24 and he's a busy guy, you know, in your early 20s. And you always want to get some word out to them, though, when they come over, you know. You always want to remind them of who they are, and it makes you just kind of wonder, you know, like this better stick in there, Lord. And you get the verse there, you know, that his word doesn't come back void, I thanks Willie for sharing today. It opened up a whole new thing for me there. And I even think I even told the people here not to drink that murmuring wine. Gotta watch which wine store you're in there. And you got me to repent and bring up a lot of things in your head there. Oh boy, I did that. But you didn't condemn me. You corrected me on those items there. That bless and don't curse. That's all I have to say. You've got to bless. Speak evil of no man. That's where the regeneration verse is there. The end of Titus there. And that's your born again, and that's your recreation, and you're into the likeness of. So speak evil of no man, because you were once deceived and foolish too, you know, and it's got all that stuff there. It's just reviewing those today, the recreation, the regeneration, the verses, and the born again, and then into the likeness of in Romans there. It can get you on a real good tangent and a real good mood. Anyway, and lately I've been doing lots of overtime at work, and you know, you get behind in your Bible readings, and you feel left out, and you need to be perked up again and encouraged, and only the Lord does that. And He uses the people here too to do it. through them. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, Willie, go ahead, brother.
One of the things that got me, you know, like the Lord started dealing with me about having, you know, condemning nothing. You know, it's really given me an appetite to read the scriptures. I just found it interesting. He said to me, you know, Jesus didn't condemn nobody. I said, what? So I put on, you know, the gospel just to listen and see if Jesus condemned anybody. He condemned willful disobedience, you know. But he wasn't like, I curse you to your face. You know, I found it interesting how he dealt with everybody, even with the scribes and Pharisees, that when he rebuked them openly and condemned the hypocrisy, it was hopefully for their salvation. You know, and I was just like, man. But when he started talking to me about, when he said, Willie, I don't want you to condemn nothing. When I said, don't condemn, I mean all. You are not allowed, according to the law that you are living in, to condemn anything. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And I know you'd be like, well, you immediately might feel sad or something. But I thought that was like the most awesome thing in the world. I'm like, I don't have to say a bad thing about nothing. And so it was just like, for me, it was just one of those wonderful, freeing revelations, you know? And so I tried to do it in my own strength. I found myself at times trying to do it in my own strength. Well, what good thing can I say about this person? And the Lord took me from out of that. He was like, oh, that's not how it works. You know, and so when the devil brought up something evil, God said, I want you to quote this scripture. He said, it was that constant scripture. For there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the spirit of life has separated me, you know, from the law of sin and death. And he would give me certain scriptures to start quoting whenever the evil one would bring up something against somebody. You know, he does it, you know, and it's interesting. But really, I challenge anyone, refuse to condemn anything. Just make up in your mind, I'm not going to condemn nothing. You know, God said all. I don't even have the right to condemn you. You know what? I had to ask for forgiveness, you know, to the Lord, because I condemned myself for being a black man. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's amazing what this country can do to you. What your environment, you know, listen to what I'm saying, what the environment does to you. And I have to repent of that, you know. And I was emancipated of that, you know, nature. You know. And it was, I'm talking about, this has been the most freeing stuff in the world. You really get to see how Jesus looks at people. You know, and if he does judge, you see why he judges. Because there's something that's separating them from their God. You know, and he's dealing with the thing, you know, rather than condemning the person. Like, you know, I know the scripture says God hates sin and the sinner. But God's the judge of that. You know, I'm not going to practice their sin. I'm not going to, you know, eat with them and agree with it. But my job is the gospel. I'm walking around with this helmet of salvation. On my feet, I have the gospel, right? You know, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the spirit, loins girded about with truth. You know, what's the first thing to come out my mouth in the morning? Oh, I hate getting up in the morning. Oh, this stupid bus. Oh, it's cold outside. oh, I wish work was over. Oh, but, you know, and you wonder why I can't, you know, put on some of the armor, you know, or I can't prove any of this armor or anything like that, or I'm missing my shield or my sword or my helmet of salvation don't fit right. You know, why? Because I am full of condemning the world. I am full of condemning the world. I am full of condemning my situations. I am full of condemning the, you know, everything I put my eyes on. You know, my tongue is full of cursings. And I'm like, oh, Lord, would you just bless me? And it's like, no, you're going to reap what you sow. He said, I told you life and death is in the power of the tongue. So you're going to have a miserable day. You know, it's going to be too cold for you today. Oh, your job is really going to suck today, son. Oh, you know, that person you don't like, they're going to be in your face all day. Oh, you're going to wish they didn't come because they're going to be there. And this is what the Lord was showing me. And it was happening. It was happening on point. You know, wow. It was happening on point. You know, I was going through some dire straits. Then when he showed me that, I'm like, oh, Lord, how much more do I got to deal with? Oh, I'm being bombarded, Lord, you know. But, yeah, well, I'll stop there, you know. You get what, you know. You're the walking freaking symbol of the salvation of Jesus Christ. You have no right to condemn. You don't have the right. Lord, I thank you for this prison. Lord, I thank you I'm in prison. Lord, I thank you I'm suffering this hunger. Lord, I thank you that I just got beat down for the gospel. Oh, Lord, you know, I just thank you that I'm about to give up my life for Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I just thank you that they burned me, Lord. It said they went back in that temple and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. They weren't like, those mother fools, you know, they sat there and beat us. They went, wow, blah, 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 cursings and hatred. They didn't say any of that, you know. And after that, they said, you know, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's mind blowing. Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. You want to be filled more with the Holy Spirit? You're not condemned everything, anything, because the Holy Spirit is everywhere. You know, you have the opportunity to walk at all times in the Spirit. And it really is. The Lord says, from out of the heart shall flow forth all the issues of life. Don't want to get filled? What is your heart meditating on? You know, want to get filled? What is your heart meditating on? But I just found that, you know, you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to condemn anything. I'm not saying you not to judge. Yeah, stay away from sin. Stay away from hypocrisy. Stay away from willful disobedience. You know. But you're free. You're free. You're circumcised to the world. You're circumcised, you know, from sin. You know, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're in a place where there's nothing but goodness, peace, joy, hope, love. You're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. You're standing before the throne of God boldly, you know. Grace is being made perfect in all of your weaknesses. And the first thing you say when you get up in the morning is, oh God, God, oh, and then your whole day you're spewing out nothing but curses, blah, 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 blah. You know, vomiting on everything, blah, 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 blah. Come on, really. We don't have to do it. We don't have the right to do it. the law of Christ says we can't do it. We can't. You know, then you're wondering, why can't I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because I hate everything around me. You know, I can't stop saying evil stuff about things around me. You know? Oh, I got to pay the rent. Oh, I got to buy food. Oh, I got to get some gas. Flat tire. Oh, my God. It's like we're a never-ending, bottomless pit of curses. But let me stop. I'm done. Go ahead, Missy. I'm sorry.
At one point, what came to me was this. I had to look it up. I couldn't remember where it was at. When I read down through the verses, let me read them and then let's see here. Numbers 14:27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation that murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward that have murmured against me. Surely ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I would make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I was just reading in the Real Good News, and, you know, it's like any complaint we have, you know, which is, you know, part of what you're talking about is that complaining is also condemning, and it's murmuring. And, you know, you may be complaining about something, but do you realize you're complaining? You're complaining about what's, you can receive nothing except it come from the Lord, you know? And so you're complaining about against the Lord. And if we, you know, or, you know, if we just, Lord, help us to realize, you know, when we complain about something that really we're complaining against you, you know, we may not say it directly to you or think that it's, you know, maybe complaining about someone or a situation, but it's really, you know, we're murmuring against the Lord. and you know, what we speak out of our mouths, and, you know, we reap what we sow, you know, too, you know, like it was saying in these verses, he was saying, okay, everything that you spoke, you know, you brought us out into this wilderness to kill us. Okay. You got it, is what the Lord said. But anyway, that's just, I forget what it was you were saying or whatever, but that triggered in my mind these verses here. So it's, yeah, help us. You know, it says we're supposed to always rejoice and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, everything. Thank the Lord for everything. Praise the Lord for everything. And you can get, you know, Merlin Carruthers has a good ministry about that, you know, praising the Lord from prison to praise, you know, his little booklet, and then the power of praise or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's another aspect of what you're talking about, you know? So, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. And that's a good book too. It's kind of the same thing you're talking about, Willie. Just praising God for those instances that come up before us. That's what Marlon was talking about. Yeah, that's a good book. I'd forgotten about that book. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Pat. What's up, brother?
How are you? How's everybody? Sorry for crowding in here late.
No, that's okay. Well, you made it.
Well, it sounds like I've missed the good stuff.
Well, Willie has really opened our eyes to what we speak and how we react and things, you know. Good night, Joe. And but anyway, that's
praise the Lord. I'll have to go back and listen to the tape.
Yeah, it was good.
Amen.
Don't get the big head, Willie. We'll come down on you, brother. That's I'm just saying. No, it was good. I actually got a lot out of it. Missy, you froze up. All right. Okay, now you're not froze. Okay, anybody else? Go, George. We can barely hear you.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, a little better.
I'd like to encourage and be, and I want to tell all you women, thank you for being godly women, and it's very encouraging to, your witness is encouraging, and I also want to encourage the men and say thank you to godly men and be encouraged to be bold and to, I feel like in society nowadays, that spirit of Jezebel, you read in Revelations how so many of those churches put up with Jezebel, and that the body of Christ and what Christ is coming back for is not going to put up with that spirit of Jezebel and wreaking havoc on godly homes and the man's role in the home and in society and in the church, and that we don't need to shrink back. And you know, it draws a very ugly picture to even say the name Jezebel, because women automatically think it pertains to them when a man can carry that spirit just like a woman can. And we just need to be aware that the workings of all spirits, but we need to lean forward and be men when it comes to performing our role as men, and we need to encourage and be thankful and remind women around us who are being godly women that lots of eyes are watching us, and the way to form a society is for people to fall into the right place and do what they're supposed to do so that the young people coming up are not confused. So if we're going to turn this ship, it doesn't always turn on a dime, but we don't have to put up with the way that the world and society is trying to steer us as Christians. We can go ahead and be bold and do what we're supposed to do for the Lord, and he'll fight all our battles for us. So I just wanted to remind everybody that there's a battle going on, there's an agenda against us, and they're trying to knock our legs out from under us when it comes to being godly men and godly women. And we can just be the witness that God has called us to be, and the Holy Spirit is going to back us up in ways that we can't even imagine.
Amen. Thank you, George. That's right. Lord, we just thank you that everybody here and everybody listening will honor your word. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing. And also, Lord, we ask that you set a watch before our lips to speak only as you want us to speak, Lord, as an oracle of God. And to do just what your word said, Willie brought it up while ago, to love you with all our heart, strength, soul, and mind. And to do the second thing, and that's to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, we wouldn't do that to ourselves, so we don't need to do it to a neighbor either. And we praise you, Father, for helping us all to do that. And to look at the circumstances around us that you've ordained us to walk in this walk that you've given us for one reason, and that's to mature us, to get us out from under the curse, out from under all the condemnation, all that stuff. And Father, we thank you for that. And when we learn, Lord, to praise you, even we praise you enough on the mountaintops, but it's down in the valleys where we like that sometimes. We like to curse people around us, curse ourselves. But now we're learning, Lord. You're teaching us. And we just praise you, Father, for doing that in every one of us, that you want us to be men and women of the mighty God that we serve. And we want to walk in the steps of Jesus, loving people, even though they hate us. And we just thank you for putting that in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Andrew.
I got a verse here from the book of Daniel. I'm just going to mention this when we were talking about women, okay? It's got nothing to do with women in general, okay? It's in Daniel 11 and 37, and it says there, neither shall he, and I believe that's the beast, regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. So regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. So, this woman also appears in a verse in verses in Revelation 12. And, there's a lot of women out there who need to be in closer relation with God, with the scriptures, with some things of correction, and you're supposed to love your neighbor, those close and those afar off. So there's a tendency that this kind of mindset can get into people, through this murmuring also, it could start with it can start with the small things, and then move up to even this, Of course, this is probably during the Great Tribulation time, but even the next verse says what he honors is the God of forces. So the adversary out there is trying to bring us in line with this world, and You can just see some of the stuff going on today that can go right to this. If we're not careful, if we're not diligent,
in our desires. When you first get saved, you want everybody to be saved, and that's God the Father's desire. He desires everyone to be saved. You go around and you start telling everybody their salvation, you know, and you're wondering why, how come these guys aren't receiving, you know? But that's a fatherly desire that's put in people. And it's kind of cool that the Lord showed me that this week. But he puts a desire in people that's his own to go and share. To be ready. Oh, that word ready, I'm telling you. I should have continued that study a while ago. I was looking at that word ready, and just there's a whole bunch of verses that have to go with it. Well, I don't know what's with these eyes of mine. They seem to be tearing a lot. Okay, praise God.
Amen, Andrew. That's good. Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
I was reading Galatians here. I've been kind of going through that a little bit. I jumped on that. And I found it interesting here. In Galatians 4, he says, but so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant, though he is Lord of all. Oh, we're talking about maturity level here. But as under guardians and stewards, it says, until the day appointed of the Father. So it sounds to me like, you know, God's got a day assigned to his people when they're going to come out from among this whatever bondage they're in as a bondservant and become sons and daughters, you know, on maturity level when they come out, a day appointed of the Father. So I just found that interesting because I know there was a time where the light switch kind of was going on and I was getting more light and it was like, well, it's time to come out from among them and be separate. I mean, that was just, you know, where it was taking me. And that's a day appointed by the Father. And I don't know, that's something that has to be done that God does in the believer's life for them to come out from among them and not be bondservants anymore to whatever it is they're in bondage to, you know, and the religion, or it could be sin, or it could be whatever the person's a bondservant to, even though he's a child, God's child, he's still considered to be a bondservant until the day appointed by the Father to come out from under that. I don't know if somebody else has something else they like to see or work with that or see some other scriptures, but I found that to be kind of direct hit where God does things. So, a route revealing for me.
The Cornelius effect. You know, Cornelius was told by an angel to send for Peter. He wasn't saved at that point in time, but he had that effect there that God choreographed it all, you know, and he was already making Peter ready for this, but he also made Cornelius ready because the Israeli people loved this man. He even made him a synagogue. And he was trying to come out of his Romanness. He was a centurion, wasn't he? And it was all set up and put in place. You know, sometimes we wonder, why me, Lord? And the best answer I can give is it's the Cornelius effect. it happens because God makes it happen. And of course it pays reference to what you just said there about in Galatians there, Dave.
that's the same Cornelius that was the head of the Romans, the soldiers. I didn't realize that.
I think it says it that way in the book of Acts. I'm not 100% sure. I think so, yeah. Like, been a while, but, you know, the Lord was just put that in my head, but the Cornelius effect there. it makes you wonder how far back he was drawing you to get to your salvation point and how much more he still has to draw us. You know? Anyway, but the race is finished when you're there, when you're finally there.
Okay, go ahead, Willie.
Believe it or not, I have had a thought on this probably 2 days ago, you know. The Lord brought up those scriptures where Paul said, you know, as children, you know, when I was a child, I thought I was a child, you know, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And then he said, you know, we receive in part, just like children receive in part. You know, but he says, then he says, but then I shall be known even as I am known. And then you have that scripture that says, the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a servant. And this is the way I understood it from the Lord. We're still in what's called the children effect. Because you can die and come short of the glory or not continue it to the end and not become the heir of all things. We all have a part as children. You know, so I might have a revelation here, you might have a revelation there, you might have a prophecy here, they might have a prophecy there, you might have a word of wisdom here, you might have a word of wisdom there. Your children, you have part. And then it says, lest you become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so it says in that scripture, until the time appointed of the Father. Jesus said, he that continues until the end, the same shall be saved. And so from what I understood it from these combination of the scriptures that the Lord was giving me was, we're still children. We receive in part, you know. We're still waiting to be made to be known even as we are fully known by faith. We accept that, you know, we are heirs of all things, you know, but we haven't yet been shown that manifestation until the time appointed of the Father. You know, he that continues to the end, the same shall be saved, you know. And then it says that it has that scripture where it says a master who has a servant from a child. And if he loves that child and raises it up as a son, that child can become the heir of all things of that master, you know. So I see us as being in the earth children, you know, heirs of all things, appointed to become heirs of all things, you know, but needing to continue unto the end, until the time appointed of the Father, where we will be known even as we are known in faith, you know, in spirit. Because it says, he that continues to the end, the same shall be saved. But that's how I kind of get it. You know, do I see myself as a full-grown man? In Christ, I accept that in my position, being, you know, I see myself as a child, you know, waiting for the full manifestation to be the heir of all things. I think both positions are there, right in front of you. Just like Jesus said, you know, they were bringing the children to Jesus, and he was like, you know, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, and he would bless them with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. but they were still children. And so that's kind of how I understand it, you know, because we all have a part. We don't all know everything. We see in part, you know, we speak in part. Our gifts, our impartations are all parts. And then it says, you know, they're going to be done away with. Why are they going to be done away with? Because you're going to come into the full manifestation to be known even as you are known. You know, we accept by faith that we are known even as we are known. We accept that by faith. But I still see the part to where we are children. You know, and we're coming to that appointed time of the Father. You know, and that appointed time is that glorified body, that glorified full manifestation. You know, where you're not in part like you are down here, receiving in part, understanding in part, speaking in part, prophesying in part, doing things in part, you know. But when that which is in part, you know, is done away, you know, we'll be known even as we are known. But that's all I got to say about it.
Okay, that's good. Listen, Monroe wants us to pray for his son. He says he's 10 and an only child. He's being homeschooled and is lonely. There are almost no other children in the town we live in. He needs a close friend, Reed Boy, in the same town. Up to this point, his mom and I and some play dates were enough for him, but he needs more now. Thank you. Yep, 10-year-old boy needs a good buddy. Well, Lord, we just ask and we pray for Monroe's 10-year-old boy that you bring a family in there with a couple of boys around his age. Maybe two or three families in there, Lord, that are Christian family, and they're seeking the Lord with all their heart, and they're bringing up their family in a Christian way. And we just praise you, Father, for doing that for Monroe's boy. I don't know what his name is, but Monroe Jr. And we thank you, Lord, that that's what you're doing right now, that you've already got it in the makings. That you knew we was going to pray this, and you already had it in there, and those families are going to start moving in. And we just praise you for it, Father. Now, I believe it, Lord, and I believe everybody in here is going to believe it too. And we're believing that you're going to move some families in there that are going to be just perfect buddies for Monroe's boy. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for him. In the name of Jesus. Joshua, okay, praise God. Yep, we do that for Joshua. We pray that for Joshua, that he has a Christian buddy that he can rely on. Not only one, but maybe two of them. Because a 10-year-old boy needs some buddies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, I like him at that age. I can teach him to spit, teach him how to throw a ball and read the Bible, do other things that boys, little boys do. Okay, anybody else? We're about out of time. Has anybody got a prayer request? Well, Father, we just thank you again for another great night talking about the things that you want us to focus on, and that's no condemnation. And no cursing, only blessing, and to speak evil of no man. And Lord, we just praise you for helping us out, everybody in here. You know, that's just the awesome way about this fellowship, Lord, like George was talking about. Everybody has a part in here, and always somebody comes up with a great topic to talk about. And Lord, we just thank you that tonight we had a good one. And Willie did such a fine job with it, Lord, that it made us all aware of the things that we say sometimes, and the things that we see in our little world around us, Lord. And we just praise you, Father, for helping us out in these kind of
situations and circumstances that come up that we don't have to curse them. All we have to do is praise God. Thank you, Lord. You're the one doing it. And Father, we just praise you to help us tonight get a good night's sleep. Protect all of us. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers for our family and friends that we've been praying for such a long time. And we just praise you for answering all of our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, that Joshua has a new friend coming right away. And we praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right. Well, good night, everybody. Bless you all. I'll be on there Saturday night if things go right. If Lord willing. Let me put it that way. Lord willing. I hope I'm not, but we'll see. All right, let me see if I can get everybody unmuted here. Good night, everybody.